Hi, I'm Mike Martindale, pastor here at the Heights Fellowship. We are so glad that you guys joined us today. We know that online isn't a replacement for the real thing, but we hope that as you listen to this message, that the Spirit of God would still move in your life. Thank you for listening.
I want to introduce a family that some of you guys know, some of you recognize by sight. I want to introduce the Grolke family. They're going to go ahead and come on up here, and I'm going to steal this and move it. You know, rearranging the furniture. I've known these guys for a long, long time. Jim and I actually grew up together. We go all the way back to Amarillo, to Canyon, Texas, technically, back in the day. He graduated with my younger sister. I graduated with his older brother. They're one of the great basketball families ever to play in Canyon High School. His brother Bill was one of the probably top five basketball players ever to come out of Canyon High, and Jim was one of the greatest shooting guards ever to come out of Canyon High, and these guys are educators. They're good friends that we reconnected with about, a long time ago. Our girls were in a Marcia Sharp basketball camp together, and we were like, hey, we know you, hey, we know you, and the Lord just kind of brought it around so that they could come and be a part of us at the Heights. They actually live in Leveland. They teach and educate out in Whiteface, and they drive in here on Sundays to worship with us, and so we're excited about this. About six months ago, they went in to have a surgery on Anderson. This is their son, Anderson, right here. And the journey took a turn. And we wanted to share the story with you guys because you have prayed for this family over and over again. We have prayed from this stage. We have prayed live. We actually prayed into the ICU as Anderson was in ICU. And we just want you to get a sense of that. So you guys can have a seat. You don't have to stand up. When we talk about histories, we talk about the story of God and our story, His story and ours. It's kind of an ongoing series that we do. That's kind of what the graphic is up in front of you. But I just want to remind you of something, that when we talk about histories, histories are not formulas. Testimonies are not formulas. It's how God worked in their life. And we want you guys to get a sense of that and be encouraged by that, to know necessarily that God may not do it the same way, but He's going to do something. And you've got to trust Him in that process. There are four things that we're going to focus on today as we weave this story in and out. I want you to catch these things. First of all, is the providence of God in their lives. How God, at inexplicable times and in a lot of times inexplicable ways, did amazing things. Did things that you don't really expect. Did things that were beyond the pale, that did miracle-type things. That's providence, guys. That's a holy God who loves His creation working in His people. And then we want you to see the presence of God. We want you to see it in His presence in the OR and in the ICU, but we want you to see it also through His people, how God ministered to them and did this great work through His people. And then thirdly, we want you to see the inordinate power of prayer, how this family prayed and prayed and prayed, and their prayers were very specific, and they would ask for prayers about things. They were really good. Probably the thing that you guys did better than anything I've ever seen is you were so good about updating God's people on specifically how to pray. At one point, there were 13 things. Melanie is posting something. She said, okay, the other 13 and then these. And I went back through their journey this week and read through every entry in their kind of online diary that they did on Facebook for all of us to see. And it's just an incredible picture of the purpose and the power of prayer and how it connects us with God and how it unites God's people. One of the things you're going to hear in this story is how even a month ago, Anderson went in to vote, and the lady at the voting station heard the name, and she went, Anderson Grolke? Anderson Grolke? I prayed for you. Have no clue who this woman is. But she was on the team that was praying for him, and she recognized the name, and she got great encouragement church is encouraged by the answer of God, and then ultimately want you to see the power of God through this. So those are the four things they're going to weave in and out of here. And so as we start this morning here, Melanie, let me move this so you don't have to worry about knocking it over. This morning as we started, and I'll tell you, this is a very emotional story. You're going to laugh, you're going to cry, but hopefully you leave here incredibly, incredibly encouraged. June 8th, I don't know if you can read that, I can't, but this was something, I think Jim wrote this, it was the day before surgery, and basically he said, hey, we're waiting, we haven't seen all the surgeons and the doctors, but we're in Houston, at Texas Children's Hospital in Houston for this surgery, and so explain a little bit why the surgery was necessary, if you guys will.
Is this one on?
Yes.
Okay. Anderson was born May 3rd of 1994. So that was a long, long time ago. So we've been on a heart journey for 22 years. So we're going to fast forward. This was going to be his third open heart surgery. He's had, up to this point, he'd had 13 heart surgeries. And God had gotten us through that. So we knew that this one was coming. We prayed for this for over a year because we knew it was coming. And so fast forward to June 8th, and so we're here, and the doctors are talking to us, and Dr. Heinle, we did not know this until the night before surgery. They'd never even told us this, and he said, I want you to know I'm the only one that's fighting for this surgery. He goes, everybody else wants to do a heart transplant, but I don't want to, and so now we know that that was a great decision, because we were given time, because when you do get a heart transplant, you're limited on your time, and will the body accept that? And so we didn't. And so June 9th, we go in. It's a 20-hour surgery. Before we even did that, we had another good friend, Steve Friskup, call and pray over Anderson. And he had just asked that there be angels in the operating room, that the presence of the Lord be felt, and that the team would get, not that they don't get along, but that they're working. And so surgery started on that Wednesday morning. Thursday morning at 7:30, did not finish until Friday morning. It was about 5 in the morning. And so at 4 o'clock on the morning, we're like in the 20th hour of surgery, one of the assistants came in, and we're exhausted. And she said, I just want you to know, she said, there is something special about that operating room. And God's in there. So, you know, that was, if y'all are going to cry, sorry, I cry ugly, sorry. It's just one of those things. You know, so anyway, so we get through that, and they do amazing things, and basically gave him a new heart is what they did, and I'm not going to get into all the details with all they fixed, but anyway, so we're in recovery, and everything's going good, and that's on a Thursday, and then they extubate him, and then he's not doing really good, and so then Jim calls me on a Sunday morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, because we're taking shifts, because this is the bad thing, he's now considered an adult, and we've always been the luxury of staying at the Ronald McDonald House, and so we didn't get to do that, so now we're at a hotel, and so Jim was with him, and so I came, and he's like, something's not right, and so at that point, you were in Super Summer.
I was in Abilene. Super Summer.
And I'm texting him frantically, and he's trying to call Randy, and so it's crazy. It's not crazy. It's a God. We have so many God stories, and so we're fixing to go into another surgery. We don't know what we're fixing to go into, and so he gets a hold of Randy, and that was a God thing. I had the iPad. I was trying to turn the iPad on, and right as I turned the iPad on, Randy is like, and we're going to pray now for Anderson Grohlke, and so I had the iPad, held it over Anderson's head, and you know, God was with us on that day. So we had a second surgery on that day. And the whole time that we were there 7 weeks, and every doctor would come in and say, I've never seen something like this. And we were almost to the point, would you quit even saying that? Because just once could you say, I've seen something and that you've seen before. And they're like, I've never seen anything like this. And so that surgery was fine. We went on, and we're doing pretty good, and so then we go to extubate him, and this is now June the 17th, and he's just not himself. If you know us, we love the Texas Rangers, love, love, love them. And he kept saying, I want Perry. And I'm like, who is Perry? I don't know a Perry. And he kept pointing to the TV. We finally figured out that was the Rangers. And he would say, I want bread. And I'm like, what do you mean you want bread? You don't need any bread. And it was a blanket. So stuff is not making sense. And I told Jim, and I went and got the head over the ICU, and I said, something's not right. And there's always a possibility of a stroke. I mean, they tell you that, and you know that. So we're doing neurological tests, and he's passing everything. And so we have our system. I would stay during the days, and then Jim would stay at night. And so that night, we switched. I said, he's just not right. He's just not right. And I don't know, but there's just not right. And so then, again, this is now June the 18th. It's 4 o'clock in the morning, and Jim calls, and he says, Melanie, it's not good. He's had a stroke. And I was like, okay. So get to the hospital, and it's not a stroke.
Let me just interject here.
Okay.
One of the things that we need to grip on this, and I want you to see as we move through this, is how the journey, we're so conditioned by 30-minute sitcoms and hour-long crime dramas in our world that everything is resolved in, you know, after the third ad, we know that everything's going to be resolved. And life isn't that way. These journeys very rarely are that way, whether it's a medical journey or a relationship journey or a job journey or any kind of other kind of journey. These things have twists and turns. And I thought through the whole, you know, James 1 thing where James says, brothers and sisters, whenever troubles come your way. And these were weird troubles that came. They weren't expecting what you're about to hear. They went in for heart, and all of a sudden they're dealing with something totally off their radar, totally off their grid. The important thing to understand is in the providence of God, he knew that. He knew that. They didn't, he did. And their response to it was exactly what God wants us to be. When James says, listen, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance grows. So let it grow, and when your endurance is developed, then you'll be strong in character and ready for anything. And that's kind of where the Lord took them, so run with it.
Okay. And to kind of back up, before we went, we just kept saying, I mean, we're used to hospitals. Unfortunately, we don't know any different. And that it's always been our prayer that others see Jesus through us. And so that has been our goal from day one. So now we have a brain bleed, and it's on two parts of his brain. It's on the brain stem, and it's on his left side. That we never dreamed. How it happened, they can't tell us. We don't even want to know the answer to that. And so we're now going in, and again, we called it God moments, because, you know, stuff just doesn't happen by coincidence. And so the head now over in the CVICU, they have different doctors that do different things, and so they come in for like 2 weeks at a time. And this doctor, and Jim and I still cannot even think of this man's name, and because it was a blur, his specialty just happened to be neurosurgery. I don't think so. He's only there for 2 weeks, and he was there when Anderson had his brain bleed, and so he was right on it. We got the CAT scan, and he made phone calls. This is a Saturday morning, and he, it was by 9 o'clock. We were in surgery, and he's like, this just doesn't happen. He said, the way that everything fell into place and who God orchestrated, we said, we know. And so at this point, we were always praying for complete healing, supernatural healing, and we were praying for that over his heart. We never dreamed it would be for his head. And so we had that done. The doctor came out, and she said, I saw something I've never seen before. And I'm like, again, this is another doctor saying we've seen something we've never seen before. And apparently he had a prior brain bleed that we just didn't know about. And there was a gel on his brain, but she said that gel protected the brain from this brain bleed that just happened. And she says, the blood just came off, and then the gel just came off. And we were like, okay, that was a God thing. So we just kept saying, you know, we knew that God was going to move on the 18th floor. That's where we were for CVIC. We just didn't know that God was going to go to the neurology floor and show them. And she kept saying, his CAT scan, it was bad. And she said, but to look at him, he doesn't look that bad. And of course, he couldn't talk. He You could show him something, and he couldn't tell you what it was. His whole right side was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. He couldn't raise his hand. I teach pre-K, and I was trying to sing his. He couldn't even sing his ABCs. He couldn't suck out of a straw. And I think that's the day that I lost it.
It wasn't easy, was it?
No,
I remember that's what you called my wife.
I called Linnell and another good friend. I called two that I just totally fell apart. And my sister-in-law, she sent a video, and she didn't mean it. It was supposed to be an encouragement. And it was of our little nephew sucking out of a straw who's 9 months old. And I'm like, we can't even suck out of a straw. I mean, we're wearing diapers. And we just graduated from SPC. And I'm like, we can't even sing our ABCs. And we have to wear a diaper. And I'm like, we're fixed to have to go back to having a newborn son that we didn't sign up for this. And this was not what we had planned, but God knew it, and he knew this was going to happen, and he was amazing on everything that he did through this whole time. So that was on a Saturday. So then on Sunday, we had another friend who's a preacher. His name is Guy Walker. He does Barn Church in Hereford, and he was like, I've got to get a hold of Jim and Melanie. He called my brother-in-law, Jim's brother, that Mike was talking about, leads praise and worship at Barn Church in Hereford. And so finally they got a hold of us by telephone on this Sunday. And he just said, man, he said, God just gave me a word for Anderson. And we were like, well, you give us that word. And he goes, the word is rush. He goes, I have no idea what it means. He goes, I was just given one word, rush. Well, the afternoon went. Then we started having seizures. You know, we didn't sign up for that either. And at that point, we really thought, honestly, that night that we were going to lose him. I mean, there were multiple times that we thought we were going to lose him, but we really thought that we were going to lose him was that night. And so the word rush, we learned later what that meant. So they were coming in, and of course, they're telling you he could have a coma. And Dr. Klepper is our doctor here in Lubbock, and y'all might know Doug Klepper. He's phenomenal and loves us. And so they called Doug on the phone, and Doug was like, Melanie, it is not good. I said, I know. He goes, no, Melanie. He goes, they're talking a coma. And I was like, okay, Doug. I said, but we can handle this. And I kept saying, I kept telling him, and Jim can tell you, I was like, there's going to be a miracle. I just believe it, that God is going to bring us through this. And I'm like, but whatever was going to happen, we were going to be fine with it. But it's going to be okay. So
well,
Doug is on.
One of the problems that they're having, and I may be ahead.
No, it's okay.
I'm trying to follow Jim's diary here, but they were at this crossroads with medication.
Yes.
They're trying to give him heparin for the brain.
For the heart.
And they're trying to give him Coumadin for the brain.
Well, they're both for the heart, but like the heart needed the heparin and the Coumadin, but the brain didn't need it. So it's a catch-22. He had to have the medicine for his heart, but his brain can't have the medicine. So you had doctors trying to figure out, again, no one, I mean, here we are in CVICU, and they kept no one up there. So we have never seen this type of a brain bleed and this severe of a problem with such a severe heart problem that no one knew the answer on the paper. And they go, we've got a team, and the team keeps getting together, and the teams keep doing this. So then they calls for the family meeting. Well, you never want a family meeting because that's horrible. Huh? And yeah, this is where I don't like to talk about this part. I'll let him talk
about that. Well, first of all, we had this brain bleed, and you know, they were talking months, year of rehab and things like that. And Melanie and Dr. Klepper we FaceTime him all the time over this deal. And he's like going, y'all know this is bad, right? And we said, we know this is bad. We know, but we're believing in a miracle. And Melanie said, he's going to be healed, Doug, and I know it. And they pulled us into this family meeting. And, you know, they're, oh, it's not that bad, you know, that we're having this family meeting. And we knew what they were going to tell us. You know, they're telling us all the natural things, all the things of man, and all the things that are going to happen because of doctor talk and because of medical talk. And, you know, we're looking at months of rehab, There's another brain bleed that could go at any time. Coma, death, all those things. And we witnessed that, those seizures that I don't wish anybody ever go through those, because I thought it was a heart issue, you know, and he locked up and just, you know, reared his head back, and it just looked like pain, you know. And so we're in this family meeting, and they're telling us all this, and Melanie said, listen, guys, we know it's bad, but I'm telling you right now, God has a miracle in plan for us, and you're fixing to watch a miracle. And then she preached, and two doctors crying that are just sitting there, just, I know they're in unbelief, because they will not tell you that they believe in God. They will not tell you in miracles and things like that. And Melanie's like going, I'm just telling you right now, we're fixed. You better hang on, because you're fixing to watch a miracle happen on this deal. And we know it's bad. We know the physical is bad, but we're believing in the supernatural. And we're going to have a supernatural healing on this deal, and you better hang on. And you're supposed to be watching this. You're part of this team for a reason, and you're going to watch this miracle happen. And so we go, and Guy had prayed over Anderson on the 18th. And it was like Wednesday after that. He was just out of sorts, very agitated, and couldn't talk at all at that time. And you could hold up a pen and say, you know, what is this? And he'd just shake his head no. And it was 4:00 in the morning, and we get him out of bed because he's so agitated. And the nurse looks at me like, you know, we're not going to do this every, you know. I said, I know we're going to do it now, though. We're going to get him out of bed now. Yeah, I know it's 4:00 in the morning, but we got him out of bed, and he finally settled down a little bit and got back in bed. Got a little agitated again, started pulling at tubes and everything. And I told him, I said, I am not going to watch you pull these tubes out. I'm going to go back to the hotel, and they're going to tie your hands down, because I am not going to watch you hurt yourself. And he sat up and looked at me, and he goes, go home. And I said, now, normally that would have made me mad. But it was plain as day. I just looked at him. I said, you said that plain as day. And he kind of looked at me, and I said, at this point, he hadn't been able to squeeze his hand at all. And I said, squeeze my hand. And he squeezed my hand. And it was such, and Guy's word was a rush. And and he said, it will be fast. It will be unbelievable. And that Wednesday morning, I was just like, this is a rush. I just couldn't believe the progress, you know, just from one second to another. We were thinking it was going to happen on Sunday. And God's timing was not that. We needed more people involved. I really believe that. Melanie will tell you that every doctor that comes in said, we always say this anyway, welcome to our village. Welcome to our village of raising Anderson and taking care of Anderson. And those doctors, she said, you're supposed to be part of this team, and because you need to witness this miracle.
Well, one of the things that happened through all of this is when things are really, really bad, there are some other families up there. You want to share a little bit about them?
We had met some families that, especially two, became very, very close to us. And one is Brian and Kendall Allen and their son Josiah. And then Al and Sandra Cardenas, and this is Al and Sandra Cardenas, and that's Anna Michelle that you're looking at. And so the Allens, Brian and Kendall, were believers and had a strong faith like we did. And that's what I do believe God brought us together for that reason. And it is sad, they did lose Josiah. So Josiah is now in heaven, and that was not what any of us wanted, because they were praying for a miracle just like we were. And then this family right here, Al and Sandra, they're from Mexico. He is a surgeon and she is a pediatrician. And they came from Mexico. They could understand English, could read English. Sandra could speak it. Al could speak it, but he didn't want to speak it. And so both of their children had the same defect. And basically, they both had only a half a heart. And so Anna Michelle's parents, like, we're going to fast forward to July 4th. We knew that they were next door to us because we were in room 9. And we were in room 9. Anna Michelle was in 10, and then Josiah was in 11. And so, you know, you have these sliding glass doors that go between you and nurses that work, but, you know, confidentiality, they can't tell you. So you just have to kind of meet on your own. And so I knew who Al and Sandra were because they're right next door to us, but not did I really get to meet them till July 4th. So July 4th, Anderson on July 3rd was experiencing horrible pain. And this is the kid that never complains. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And so, long story short, he had to have an emergency appendectomy. So we had 5 surgeries the whole time that we were there. I mean, it's like, you've got to be kidding me. What else can we have? But poor Anderson had to go through the appendix surgery. But if God had not allowed that, because when they went in for the appendix shot, his appendix was perfect. They could not explain it on the every CAT scan and everything they did. It looked like it had burst. It went in there. It was perfect. They went in, they took it out. I'm like, take it out. That's one thing we don't have to worry about. But so we sat down with Al and Sandra. And I said, I know you're next door to us. And we just started visiting. And I told the story about when Anderson was born. And they told us he wouldn't live. He wouldn't live to be 2. He wouldn't live to be 5. And look at us now. And she said, well, you know, that's what they're telling us about Anna Michelle. And I said, well, you know, I said, we have hope in Jesus. And we know that God has say over man. And just kind of visited with them and didn't think anything about it. Well, then it was like the next day we shared the same doctor. I saw Dr. Hiley in there and the curtains are pulled. When the curtains are pulled, you know something's bad is happening. And so I just start praying and then he leaves and Sandra comes running over and she goes, we're going to do it. And I go, what? And she goes, we're going to do the surgery. She said, they told us everything that those doctors told you about Anderson. And she said, Al, he is a surgeon, guys. And she said, all he kept saying in Spanish, said Dr. Hiley didn't know what he was saying, but kept telling her, go get Melanie. I don't want to listen to what they're having to say. And I'm like, that was God that did that. And Anna Michelle she is still in critical condition. But this is where the cool part is. We were strong believers in room 9. Brian and Kendall were strong believers in room 7. And Anna Michelle was right in the middle. I think God put them right there so that they could experience the presence of Jesus. And I went and I got her a Jesus calling book. And I'm not bragging about me. I don't ever want to brag about me. And that's what I always say. It's God. And she wrote my mom a note. My mom and dad are here in her note. She said, I never knew about God's love until I met the Kroelkes. And I'm like, okay, God, put us all there together. And we do. I have a little necklace that all 3 of us moms wear. It's got a little heart on it. But, I mean, she's got a long way to go, but I believe God can do a miracle with her, just like he did with Anderson. And with Josiah, we know that he's in heaven, and we know he is completely healed. And his mom and dad know that. But it's just so many God stories that we could go on and on. And so anyway,
one of the things that comes out of that is, you know, a scripture like 2 Corinthians 1:3, which talks about you comfort others with the comfort God has given you. God had this. God knew this. And God used all of this horror for glory. You know, and the greatest healing for Josiah is eternal life.
Yeah.
You know, we are happy about physical healing, but the greatest healing is eternal life. But they were able to give comfort to a lot of people because they had experienced it, had been through it. And I don't know what you're going through. Yeah. I don't know what you struggle with in your daily life, what challenges and obstacles are in your way. Those aren't there just by chance. Those are part of the providential work of God, is that you would trust him, whatever that looks like. And let his testimony, his greatness, be shown in that. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I think that we've always said this has always been horrible, but it hadn't been very horrible. To be so bad, it hadn't been that bad. And we were in those situations where, and Melanie is she's the speaker, I'm not. She's the one that is very upfront and very loud and Did I mean loud?
Hey, tell them.
I did mean loud.
Tell them about the, you posted on June 28th, I have a note here about it, about the giving of the blood. Do you remember that post?
I did that.
Was that you? Yeah. Oh, of course. Anyway,
I'll let her. Okay. Gloom and doom is in that place. And those nurses will tell you, you know, that when we were in there, they were going, this is different. This is different. And even on horrible days, I'd be walking down the hall. And I'm telling you, I'd walk down the hall and high-fiving nurses on the way down. And they're like going, Dad, glad you're here. You know, I mean, they would come in from other, that we've had nurses, and they would be on another floor, and they would come in and check on us. And they would come in, and one of them, I can't even remember her name. She would come in every day, and she'd go, what scripture's up today? She said, I need my word for the day. And Melanie would be changing scripture on the bed and on the wall. There it is on the door. And she said, what's our word for today? And she would come in and just read, and she'd pray over Anderson, and then she would leave. And some special nurses, you know, happened through that. That one of them, Melanie said, you know, is we're expecting a miracle. And they were going, well, you know, they give you that. And one of our nurses from behind, he just said, I'm just telling you right now, we're believing in Jesus over here. And he said, they won't say it, but I'm going to say it. And he said, we're believing in a miracle, you know. And so those people were perfectly timed and perfectly placed.
Okay, that day that when he was given blood, because they were having to do withdraw so much blood because we were having to do test after test after test to make sure the INR matched what it needed to be. And so this day, it was a rainy day. And that was, back up a little more, another God. There's so many God moments. We were going to just do care pages because I don't do Facebook, but now I do Facebook because of Anderson. But I get on Gems, and that was our thing. We didn't want it to be out there for people to maybe go, oh, they just want pity or... We didn't want that because, you know, some people get on Facebook and they just will say anything, and we did not want that. And so we were going to do care pages. And so I was talking through it. Well, you had to enter email addresses. So I started getting email addresses. Well, they go, you can only enter 100. I was like, you're kidding me. I said, forget y'all. I said, we're doing Facebook. And so we did Facebook. And because of that, y'all, oh, my word. I mean, it was like crazy. We were Team Anderson. And it was just crazy how all of that happened. But anyway, so back to this deal. It was given blood, and it was raining, and it was just a gloomy day. And so I was just sitting there, and it's just amazing that the stuff that God will just reveal to you. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm watching the blood. I'm just watching him get the blood, get into units of blood, and all the machines are going off. And I just sat there, I'm like, you know what? I am like, that is just like Jesus' blood. I mean, he was just pouring his blood over us and just keeping us safe, and just the lamb, and just everything. I thought, you know what? As a person gave that blood so Anderson could live, think about what Jesus's blood could do for us. Mm. And it just showed me how much he loved us. And like Jim said, I am the talker. And I just, there's this one doctor, Dr. Anders from Germany. He did not like me, or he wasn't going to like me, but God made him like me before it was over. Because he would just stand at the door and he would look, and I know he was bad. I know he was bad, and he would never enter in. So I would just go by and I would just like touch him, and I was like, and I told him, I'm just so gonna rock your world. I said, no, God's gonna rock your world, because he was never gonna say God. And so I would go by and I would say, how are you today? Well, then his time came over, and I wrote every doctor and every nurse a note every day. So that and I signed everything, you know, Jesus loves you, and smiley faces, and put scripture in it. And so I gave him his note, and he was going to be gone for 2 weeks. And my mom was there. She can attest for this. And so he came to tell me goodbye, and he hugged me. And I mean, all those nurses came in, they go, what did you do? We've never seen him do anything like that. And I said, well, it was Jesus. It wasn't me, you know. And it just stuff like that, the presence, we just kept asking that the presence of Jesus, when you walk in Anderson's room, that it just knocked you down. And one of the x-ray technicians, Anderson, and it was on one of those pictures, he had a comfort cross that we tied on the end of the bed, and you could hold it in your hand. And she goes, what is that? And I said, well, hold it in your hand. I said, it's a comfort cross. And she held her head and she immediately started crying. And she said, this room is different. And she said, I can feel Jesus. I said, yes, you can. And she goes, I'm going right now and calling on my friends and telling them to pray for Anderson. I said, yes, you do. And I mean, we just had multiple things like that. We had a pre-op nurse that had us the day that we came in. And this is now, I mean, you remember, guys, we were there on June the 8th. We did not leave. We didn't get home till like August the 1st. So we were there a long time. And so this one nurse, she goes, I can't figure out why his name was still on the list. And she goes, I just had to come and see it. And so I told her the story, and she goes, I'm calling my friends, but I'm not telling them to pray. I'm just telling them to thank you, Jesus, for this miracle. I said, that's right. And it was just multiple, a maintenance man. He and I would see each other, and you could tell he was a Christian, and we would visit. And he goes, I'm telling everybody we're having Jesus. We're having church at this elevator right now. I said, that's right. You tell everybody to come on. And it was just, like I said, for Jim to say it was so many bad things, there were way more good things. And like,
don't,
you know,
tell them about Dr. Jeremy.
Oh, we're, Dr. Jeremy.
We're running short on time.
I know, run on time. Sure, I know. I mean, like my God's moments is like way too much. Dr. Jeremy, Anderson was not eating. And just not a big guy anyway. But y'all, he got down to 92 pounds. He was just not, it was horrible. And so they're like, Melanie, he's got to eat. I said, I know he's got to eat. And so they're like, Anderson, what do you want? And Anderson, like, what did you say you wanted?
Taco meat.
Taco meat. And he goes, but I only want my mama's taco meat. And I was like, okay. So Dr. Jeremy came in, and he's like, I got a deal for you, Anderson. I'll make taco meat. And I was like, well, that's so nice of this doctor to go make taco meat. And he goes, Melanie, how do you do it? I said, well, just like taco meat. You ground your meat, and I add, you know, onions and chili powder and garlic powder and all of that. And so he goes, okay. He goes, I'll be back in a little bit. He left and came back, and I said, well, this is good. And he goes, let me tell you something. And he goes, I'm a vegetarian. This guy doesn't even cook meat. He cooked meat for Anderson. I am like, you're going to be kidding me. He's like, I'm a vegetarian. I don't even do this stuff. And I'm like, wow. You know, I'm like, that was a God thing that this vegetarian went and cooked meat and then brought it to Anderson. So just, I guess that we can go on and on, but just, God is good and amazing. I know one other thing, Anderson, this probably was the highlight of his. Who called you when you were in the hospital?
Jeff Bannister.
Okay, if you know who Jeff Bannister is, that is the manager for the Texas Rangers. Again, we love the Rangers. And because our daughter works at the ballpark, a long story, the Bannisters have been following Anderson's story. And so they were in Boston playing the Red Sox. And he took the time out just to call Anderson. And one more thing about Jeff Bannister. We had these team bracelets that we wore, and he wore them. And he did. He prayed for Anderson. Ooh. And a friend of ours, Coach Rocha, that coaches with us out at Whiteface, had gone to the Rangers have, like, autograph, you know, lines and stuff. And it was a special day. They had special autographs. Well, there were thousands of people there. And so Coach Rocha just got in the line that they put him in. Well, it was Jeff Bannister's line, and when he got up to sign Jeff, they both looked, and they're like, hey, we both have on Team Anderson bracelets. And I'm like, wow, out of thousands of people.
Stuff like that went on all the time. I spoke at a camp end of June over in the wilds of New Mexico, and I'm in there with several hundred students from New Mexico, and I said something about, so for all you New Mexico students in a group, I went, and Texas, and went, Texas, who's from my home state? And they went, we are. I said, where are you guys from? And they said, Whiteface. I went, what? Whiteface. I said, Team Anderson. And they all were wearing their bands. And so the whole week of camp, every spare minute, we were like, hey, have you heard anything? Have you heard anything? And Melanie was, and Jim were texting me a little bit kind of on the side to kind of, I guess, you know, give me a little bit more insight for prayer and that kind of stuff. But they were like, have you heard anything? And every day, it was stuff like that. Constantly. And just a little bit, Bannister, I don't know what you know about his story and his testimony, but he had cancer. Mm-hmm. And he's a cancer survivor. And so he's been in impossible, you know, situations, and God used what he had been through to bring comfort to them. Great encouragement. Real quickly, we got to fast forward through. He improves markedly fast.
Like we said, like the rush. And so we finally get out. I mean, it seems like forever, and it was a rush. It was only 7 weeks. And so this is the day that I walk in, and all the doctors are in the room. There were so many things I could tell you. I just could talk to you for forever. about God moments. Every doctor that was on the team was in our room that morning with all these balloons. And they were just kept saying, and these were the few that were believers. And they were like, we did see a miracle. And I'm talking about how good God is. And we all huddled around Anderson and prayed with him and just prayed and thanked God for each of those doctors that God knew. This is at the hotel. He was so excited to finally get to be in a room where you don't have 10 million things poking into you. And so we leave. We stay in Houston a little bit. And then we go to Arlington because we're still scared to death. And these were our Team Anderson shirts. And so we came back to Leveland, and not knowing it, a lot of our friends had gotten. This is at the ballpark, and if you notice, it says Anderson 28. Well, that's Jeff Bannister's number, and so we gave Anderson a hard time. He called Anderson off the DL list. So this was the night that we were there. Anderson got to go down to the clubhouse and meet the guys, and they signed a jersey, and it's now framed in Anderson's room, and they've just really incredible people. And then we come home, and this is Alexandria's office. That's what her view is from her office. What an office view,
nice
Alexandria.
Digs, Alexandria.
Oh, no. Yeah, she's got a thumbs up back there. And then we drove into Leveland, and we didn't know this, and there was a surprise. And basically, that's pretty much who we teach with every day. And they had welcome signs, and there was a Mrs. Anderson. And then when we got home, by our front door was, I think it's the next slide, and it's, this was waiting at our door when we got home. And God is good. And if you don't believe in a God, look at Anderson. And that people ask him, and he doesn't remember any of it, but we think that's a good thing that God, you know, shielded him from all of that, and he doesn't remember any of it. So I don't know.
I hope you guys are encouraged by this. There's a whole lot more when you get all the intricate little things that go on when God moves. One of the great things is you guys were really paying attention to small movements of God, little encouragements, little things where you saw not only his providence but his presence in your lives. You were counting on his power, and you were depending upon prayer throughout this whole thing. And I want to encourage you guys, this journey isn't over. I mean, he just 2 weeks ago had to go back down to Houston for his first big checkup since then, and it turned out it was a really good checkup.
Really good. Yeah, it was really good.
He continues to improve. But guys, more than once, this congregation prayed over him through FaceTime or, you know, Skype. I don't remember exactly how we did that. People all over the country were praying.
And the women's ministry gave us money.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, women's ministry mm-hmm. helped fund some of the care and all that. And so there's so many different things, and you guys got to be a part of it.
Yeah,
and it's not their
you.
Miracle.
No.
It's yours that God has given to encourage you. And so this morning as we wrap up, let me just give you a couple of scriptures. Romans chapter 5 says this, and not only this, but we exult in our tribulations knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, just like James 1 was talking about. And perseverance proves character, and proven character brings about what? Hope. We want you to leave here hopeful this morning. We want you to leave here because of their story, not saying, well, God's got to do that in my life, but look what God has done, and look what God can do. Hope does not disappoint. And doctors and nurses and families and individuals have all found hope just because of the struggle of this one family. And it's not always pretty, and it's not always clean. Sometimes it's messy. But hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through His Holy Spirit. And then 2 Corinthians 4 says this, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For these momentary troubles, and that's what they are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Amen to that. And so this morning, just by way of application, the band is going to make their way back up here in just a minute. But by way of application, let me ask you back to those 4 points. 4 things I want you to consider. And here's what we're going to do is, as the band comes back up, we're going to worship again. And that'll be our out. Jim and the band are going to dismiss us. We want to go out victorious and triumphal and encouraged. But we want you to feel free to be prayed for. These guys bared their souls and asked us to pray for them in their troubles, didn't they? You know, one of the things that we do here is we open the stage up and we say, just come forward for prayer. You don't have to say anything to anybody. And it troubles me sometimes when I see nobody come forward, because I talk to you guys on the side and I know you need prayer. And folks, we need to be vulnerable enough with one another to ask for that. And so one of the things I would ask you this morning is, how do I need to recognize and trust the providence of God? Where are you at in your walk and your journey this morning? And the second question I would ask is up here, what do I need to seek and embrace the presence of, or where do I need to seek and embrace the presence of God today? Number three, how can I enlist and extend prayer to connect me to the purpose of God and to the people of God? And the last one is this, where do I most need to see the power of God? I would guess this morning in a room, in a crowd this size, I mean, we're full, is that there are some of us in this room who have never trusted Christ. You have been exposed to Him like some of the doctors and nurses that they encountered, but you have never personally trusted Christ. Why not do that this morning? It's as simple as going to Christ and bearing your heart to Him and say, Jesus, okay, I can't save myself. I get it. I need you to save me. I believe Jesus, this Jesus, the Jesus that does these kind of things, that shed His blood to cover me. Lord, I believe that, and I believe that alone will save me. So Lord, I give you my life. I yield my will to you and ask that you save me. God will do that. God will do that. If you do that, let us know. You have a connection card for prayer, for all kinds of stuff. You can drop those in our offering boxes on the way out if God moves you to do so. We want to pray with you. But during this time of worship, let's celebrate the greatness of God. Can we do that? All right. Thank you, guys. Stand with me.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We believe in the power of the Word of God. If you made a decision, we would love to hear from you. As well, if you have any questions, let us know at the email listed at the bottom of the screen. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a good day.